Welcome to Torah Macha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Zivi Zuckerman, and today we will be studying Melachim Bet, Perek Yud Aleph, Chapter 11. In this parak, we'll discuss part two of the royal reset for the Jewish kingdoms. In the last two parakim, we discussed the ill-fated reset for Malchut Yisrael with Yehu, who becomes king of Malchut Yisrael. Although we had high hopes that Yehu would steer Malchut Yisrael back on track after wiping out Beit Achav and the Baal in the northern kingdom, unfortunately, he does not get rid of the Egla Yeravam, the golden calves of Yeravam, and therefore the opportunity for a spiritual reset is not actualized. In this parak, the story shifts to events taking place in Malchut Yehuda. Since the former king of Yehuda, Ahaziah ben Yehoram, was a grandson of Achav, he was considered a member of Beit Achav and was therefore killed by Yehu during the coup of Beit Achav. King Ahaziah of Yehuda's sudden death left the throne up for grabs, and it was seized illegally by his mother Ataliah. Ataliah was the evil daughter of Achav, who had been married to Ahaziah's father Yehoram. Her cruel behavior as queen is an accurate reflection of her origins in the corrupt Beit Achav. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1 tells us, Va'ataliah im Ahaziah ra'ata ki mit bina. When Ataliah, the mother of Ahaziah, learned that her son was dead, Vatakam vata'abed et kol zera hamamlacha. She promptly killed off all who were of royal stock. What this means is that she actually murders all of her own grandchildren in cold blood. Not wanting to get caught, she accomplishes this through poisoning, since it would look less obvious if they all died a slow and painful death that looks like the plague. Ataliah then takes the reins of power in Malchut Yehuda. However, in Pasuk Bet, verse 2, Ataliah's daughter Yehosheva saves one of her nephews, the baby Yehoash, by hiding him in the Chadar HaMitot with his nursemaid. Rashi explains that the Chadar HaMitot is the attic above the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Beit HaMikdash, where Yehoash remains hidden for 6 years while Ataliah rules Malchut Yehuda. The cold-blooded murder of all of the heirs to the throne of Malchut Beit David by their own grandmother is a pretty shocking turn of events for Malchut Yehuda. The Ralbag explains that this act, which almost wiped out all of Malchut Beit David, was really the last stage in the annihilation of Beit Achav. The royal line of Malchut Beit David had become inextricably interwoven with Beit Achav through intermarriage, and the negative impact of this alliance had already come to the fore in the evil kings Yehoram of Yehuda and his son Ahaziah. In wiping out all but one of the descendants of Malchut Beit David, the Malchut can now attempt a fresh start and try to reestablish the kingship on a good spiritual footing. The Gemara in Sanhedrin 95b mentions another reason for the near annihilation of Malchut Beit David. The Gemara explains that this was mida keneged mida, a measure-for-measure punishment for David HaMelech for his role in the destruction of Nov Ir HaKohanim. You may recall the story from Shmuel Aleph when Shaul wiped out the priestly city of Nov, killing all of its Kohanim since they had helped David, thinking that David was there on a mission for Shaul. The catastrophe in Nov was not directly David's fault. However, he took responsibility for the tragedy when he heard about it. He realized that he shouldn't have asked them to hide him or help him, knowing that if Shaul found out, he would likely kill them as Mordim B'Malcha, rebels against the king. Because of David's lofty spiritual level, he was held accountable for this very subtle misdeed, where even when his life was in danger, he should have considered all possible ramifications of his behavior. Since in Nov Ir HaKohanim there was one lone survivor, Eviatar, the son of the Kohen Gadol, here in Melachim, with the wiping out of most of Malchut Beit David, there was one survivor as well, the baby Yehoash. Moser HaNevi'im adds that the fact that Yehoash was saved by hiding specifically in the Beit HaMikdash was a reward for David's wholehearted preparations for the future building of the Beit HaMikdash. Returning to our storyline, in the 7th year of Ataliah's reign, Yehoyada, the Kohen Gadol, who was the husband of Yehosheva, carefully begins planning a coup of the evil Ataliah. Yehoyada first works to gain the loyalty of the Kohanim and the Levium, who are going to help him orchestrate the coup. The plan is for everything to happen on Shabbos, since the Mishmarot, the rotation of Kohanim serving in the Beit HaMikdash, switch places after the offering of the Karban Musaf on Shabbos. Since the Mishmarot switched shifts on Shabbos, that means there were double the amount of Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash on Shabbos, with including both the outgoing Mishmar and the incoming Mishmar. Therefore, it wouldn't look suspicious if there were more people around the area on Shabbos, and the additional manpower could be used to protect Yehoash during the coup. Yehoyada divided the Mishmarot into different groups, assigning a job to each group to help guard the premises and the king. The Mishmaret that was on its way out would guard Yehoash. In Pasuk Chet, verse 8, the guards were instructed that anyone who tries to break ranks should be considered a potential assassin and should be killed immediately. The Kohanim guarding the king set themselves up according to Yehoyada's instructions, making use, according to Radak, of an arsenal of weapons that David had captured in war and was stored in the Beit HaMikdash. Since this is a coup and not a peaceful succession, it's important for Yehoyada to establish the legitimacy of Yehoash's kingship. He does this in the following two ways. First, they crown Yehoash, as related in Pasuk Yud Bet, verse 12, Vayotze et ben hamelech v'yitin alev et ha-nezer ve'et ha-idut. Yehoyada brought out the king's son and placed upon him the crown and the testimony. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah 44a explains that the Nezer was the crown of Malchut Beit David, which according to Mahari Kara, David had captured from Ammon in Shmuel Bet, chapter 12, and had been worn by David and all of his successors. This crown served as an edut, a testimony, to whether the wearer was fit for the Malchut, since it only fit someone who was supposed to be king. For example, as Radak points out, it did not fit Adoniyahu, who was a usurper attempting to take the throne illegally from Shlomo HaMelech. Here, the crown fit Yehoash, even though he was only a 7-year-old boy. Alternatively, Mitzudas David says that the Eidut was the Sefer Torah that kings were required to keep with them at all times. This demonstrates that Yehoash intends to be loyal to Hashem, unlike his father and grandfather. Secondly, the verse continues, Vayamlichu oto They anointed him and proclaimed him king. They clapped their hands and shouted, "Long live the king!" So they anoint Yehoash, which Radak points out is not usually done for a Melech ben Melech, a king who inherits the throne from his father. However, whenever there's a dispute, as in the case of Shlomo and Adoniyahu, then the rightful king is anointed with the Shemen HaMeshcha, the special anointing oil. Particularly in this case, the one used only for Malchut Beit David. In fact, the Malbim explains that Yehoyada's son Zachariah was present at this anointing since he was a Navi, and a king needs to be anointed in the presence of a Navi. With all this noisy commotion going on in the Beit HaMikdash, Atalia senses that something is going on, and she comes out to investigate. When she arrives at the scene, she quickly understands what's happening, and she calls out in Pasuk Yudalid, verse 14, Kesher, Kesher, treason, rebellion! And immediately, Yehoyada commands the guards to grab her and lead her out of the Beit HaMikdash. They charge her with the dual crimes of murder of all her grandchildren, as well as Merida b'Malcha, rebellion against the monarchy, since her usurpation of the throne was completely illegitimate from the start. The guards take her out and execute her. Yehoyada then orchestrates the sealing of two britot, two covenants or agreements, in Pasuk Zion, verse 17. The first is a covenant between Hashem and the king and the people. This is an agreement that the people of Malchut Yehuda will turn over a new leaf by destroying the Avodah Zarah that has only recently been introduced into Yehuda by Yehoram of Yehuda. They commit to becoming a true Am Hashem, a loyal nation of God. The second agreement was between the king and the people. Since the traditional social contract, the agreement of mutual responsibility between the king and the people, had been breached by Atalia in her usurpation of the monarchy, this mutual commitment needed to be strengthened and renewed. According to Mitzudas David, the king was agreeing to fight wars to help protect the people, and the people were pledging to serve the king loyally. The Malbim explains that the subsequent psukim describe how each of these two covenants or agreements were implemented. The first bris between Hashem and the people is cemented in Pasuk Yud Chet, verse 18, when the people spontaneously attacked the temple of the Baal that was located right near the Beit HaMikdash. As the verse explains, Vayititsu et mizbechotav ve'et slamav shibru hitev. They tore it down and smashed its altars and images to pieces. In destroying the Baal, the people were affirming their commitment of loyalty to God. The second bris between the people and the king is cemented in Pasuk Tet, verse 19, The verse relates that the same guards that had been instrumental in the coup of Ataliah now serve as an honor guard for Yehoash, escorting him to the royal palace where he ascends the throne. In this way, they affirm that the people are committed to serving the new king loyally, and the king in turn commits to serve as a good leader for the people. The dramatic events in this parak, leading to the installation of a new king on the throne of Malchut Yehuda, is a perfect opportunity for a reset and a fresh start for the kingdom. Beit Ahav has been eradicated from both Yisrael and Yehuda, and now Yehuda is starting with a new Brit Hashem, a clean slate, and a new hope. We will see in the next parak that Yehoash embarks on a major project to repair and renew the Beit HaMikdash. We'll have to wait and see whether he can take his dedication all the way through and become a model leader of Malchut Beit David. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmat, Frida bat Moshe Eliyahu.